gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the current RWA Next Level champion, Abaddon. How are you doing this evening?
Not bad. Good.
Hugh, thanks for joining us this evening. Abaddon's joined us to promote Wrestling for Our Mental Health on the 19th of August at the Festival Hall in Nottingham. So before we get into some of the promotions, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
I've been wrestling now for 3 years. I'd done a bit of wrestling beforehand and then had some time out and then came back about 3 years ago now. So what
prompted you to get in the ring in the first place?
Growing up as a kid, it was always something that I'd watched. I'd always watched wrestling and been inspired by some of the bad characters, should we say, that you watched on WWF and WWE. And it was always something that I thought I could try and, you know, always sort of had a character in mind that I liked. So I thought, well, I can do that. And then sort of just dipped my toe in the water, as they say, and went for it, you know, developed. I knew I had a character in mind, and it was just about honing my craft to make it fit with that character.
Yeah, was there a wrestler you wanted to mould your style around when you started?
Really, it was growing up, it was watching Kane, Undertaker, in the old school, some of the Big Boss Man, just sort of their attitude and their presence they had, you know, the very fact of like Kane and Undertaker, they could get across the way they were by just simply the way they looked at somebody in that hall. As a kid, I remember watching, thinking, you know, the Undertaker's got magical powers, you know, he's just made lightning appear and stuff like that. So I really bought into it as a kid and then sort of wanted to be able to get a character where you didn't have to do anything, in essence. You could make somebody really, really scared by just looking.
Yeah. Yeah, my 3-year-old's terrified of you whenever we go to that line.
Yeah.
Yeah, your style does very much remind me of the corporate boss man when he came back in '99.
Yeah, I think that's where, because when I, you know, was watching, I took elements of each of the different people, boss man, because of his, I remember watching, you know, some iconic promotions, you know, promos that he did, and the way he was quite very much unstable and very much abandoned as a character, apart from being in the rejected being and developing my character as I've sort of developed and changed. But the fact that the character of a band is unstable, you never, wherever there's been times when the mask is off or the mask is on, it's never really, people don't know how to take him.
Yeah.
It's like he's a bad guy, but actually, does he care? Doesn't he care? You know, does he actually make friends of anybody? In some places, people actually ask, does he speak?
Yeah.
Because I know there's some, like at Wrestle Island, I don't think Abaddon's ever said a word.
No. Yeah, you look very ominous when you stand in the corner with the... So I've seen it.
Yeah.
So, how did you get involved with the RWA?
I had a friend who... still a friend who had been wrestling there for years, and he had gone back and he'd been to watch me wrestle before I had the 2 year gap, and it was, to be honest, to be a bit of backyard wrestling. And again, I didn't know really any wrestling style apart from what I'd watched on the telly, and you know what I'd watched on YouTube, and he said to me about coming along, you know. And I'd been along to watch an RWA show years ago, when, you know, my trainer, Andy Baker, was having his wrestling matches against Pitbull, you know, babyface Pitbull. So yeah. I'd been along and watched the show and knew it was there. But really, because at the time I was pushing 44 stone at the time, wow. It was still that. It was still very much a barrier for me to actually just to go along, you know, and actually, you know, participate and actually, you know, join in type thing. It was that was a big thing for me. So I went along, you know, very much met up with Andy, joined him with a training session there, and got through the training session and went back, and that was it really. I started on that journey of wrestling, but I met wrestling more as a discipline, more than just getting in the ring and not knowing, and, you know, you try, you know, when people say, and there's this, you know what you're doing, and you wouldn't know what you were doing at all, whereas, you know, having more structured training and learning the, you know, the right way type thing.
Yeah, so did the idea to lose all this weight become because of you starting the wrestling, or was it an idea you always
When I started at RWA, I had already started losing weight, but the big precursor for me was that once I started losing, like, you know, a few pounds here, and then it was a stone, and then I started wrestling, and then, you know, you could start to be more agile and start to do other things, and then it became like a bug. It was this constant pushing of, you know, what I can do. It's like my character now. It develops more and more, and there's more and more stuff that people will see me do, you know, whether it be about, you know, about doing aerial moves for the size I am and the build I have now. For people to see me do an aerial move, it's like a bit of one of those shock moments. Yeah. I remember, you know, watching it when I've watched some of the, you know, even when I've been watching WWE, and you see, you know, whether it goes right or wrong, but seeing, you know, Lesnar going onto the corner, it's one of those moments that sort of defines their character when they do it.
Yeah.
So I've always been constantly in the ring. I'd push more and more to do more stuff. Because as generically, you know, the big guys like the Big Show and that, really, they're good wrestlers. But when you're a big guy, you don't really have to work as much. Whereas as I was losing weight, I'm pushing myself more to lose weight and to train harder and to get that commitment level in there. I then learned that my character and my skill level had to increase to match that. Because as I was losing weight, I was the big guy still, but no longer the big guy mass-wise that people couldn't knock over. It then became believable that people could knock me over, that Abaddon could be taken off his feet, and actually, as a character, then I had to then develop it to make more aggressive, but more of a storytelling, that Abaddon became more cunning rather than just you can't knock me over. So yeah, I suppose as I started to lose weight and realised I could do more, I then got the bug to almost go from one extreme to another.
Yeah, so take us back to your first match. What do you remember about it? And in hindsight, do you think it was good?
I remember my first singles match. It was for RWA in Frodsham. And it was against Marcus Bain, which was an ongoing story we'd had with the Rejected and Marcus Bain. So the Rejected going to sort of retire Marcus Bain. And the first match was obviously very, very nerve-wracking when you're going out as a character and you've been the person who's been... it's actually, you know, when you've got a character and you're trying to develop it. But then getting into that match and having somebody who's a similar build to the way you are and listen to, you know, their tutorial, the way they would do it. And it was a match where I got to display this presence that can't be knocked over, and it was a very, very good match. And I think that was it felt good to actually be in the ring and show people what this character was, because up until then I'd been the presence of the Rejected that had stood around the ring and, you know, stopped people from sort of getting the upper hand on the other Rejected members, and finally I got to showcase what I could do. So yeah, it was really, really fun. I remember that match, and I remember the feeling I got at that match. sort of every time I have a match now, or there's something that I'm going to do, I take myself back to that match, just because it sort of brings back those memories, that adrenaline rush that you get.
So does wearing the mask and the boiler suits, does it help from a...
The boiler suit is part of this, the way the Abaddon's, you know, character is. It's one of this. It separates, because everywhere you go, every promotion you go to, you have, you know, you'll have the generic bad guys who turn up in, you know, wrestling boots, and Abaddon's character is meant to be very rough and ready, just very, you know, rough and ready, ready to take on, you know, anybody. It's not all about how you look, it's about what I can do in the ring type thing.
Yeah.
Mask very much at the start was in with the rejected, it was this anonymous, and very much there was, you know, I kept the mask on because then that helped me to work on character profile. So actually, can I get people to really fear Abaddon by simply turning their head and looking at them? Because I find that whenever you go to, you know, when even when I go and watch, you know, some of the people that I've been to watch at shows, the likes of, you know, Zach Gibson, you know, people like Matt Fox, even my one of my, you know, people in the rejected that I wrestle with, you know, Alexis Falcon, Demon Eye, Azazel, when they have that emotion and people can connect with them, even in, you know, if they're angry, you know, if the crowd are angry, they can see that emotion in the face. But actually, with Abaddon, people don't actually know how to connect with them because the mask is like that barrier there to stop people from making that connection. So it helps me then to be able to, people are really scared, but they don't know. You know, I've had people when they've spoken to me after a show and they've been scared of me wearing the mask, and they take the mask off and they're like, oh, it's okay now. And the mask becomes almost a character in itself.
So I like it when you come into the ring, I think I've only ever seen you in tag matches.
Yeah, in tag matches, you know, because Azazel very much, I mean, if anyone who's ever seen Azazel with his, you know, presence when he has, you know, his ring, you know, when he's in the ring, the presence he has, you know, people are actually, you know, I've had people compared to him as like a zombie version of Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
And very much when me and Azazel tag, it's very much that he's the speed and the cunning one that uses the big words and outsmarts people by being like a very, very clever, devious. Whereas when I get in, it's a bit more power, strength, and it complements the way it is. And people seem to get the understanding that we have, and that's the one thing I've been really lucky with being in the rejected, that each one of us, independently but also as a group, we sort of gel and work and have that work ethic together, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, because I noticed when you get in the ring, you seem to just tilt your head slightly so it looks a bit ominous before you engage into the fight. I don't know if that's a conscious thing you do. Or...
I tuck my head, and very much with my head, the way it's because of what I'll do is I'll even tuck my head, or I'll turn my head ever so slightly. It's just to give that element where people don't connect very much with, and that's when I'm also on the outside of the ring, you know, that moment when you, for me, you know that you've got made that connection with somebody when you walk up to somebody on the front row and they'll be shouting stuff in your face, but then you'll turn and look at them and they sort of sit back in their seats and don't say anything else while you're looking at them.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk away, they'll start again, but it's that moment when you look at them and they stop. That's when you feel that connection's been made, because they don't know what you're going to do. And it's that, you know, if you shout stuff at them, they know that you shout the stuff at them. But it's when you don't say anything, they don't actually know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Hello, it's me, Sammy, the Glitch, Ganon.
And I'm Crash, and together we are The Arcade.
You're listening to Broken But Glorious.
IWA has a big show this Saturday called Boiling Points. What should people expect from an IWA event?
I think with an IWA event, it's a mixture of, you know, different characters. Really, you have your typical real bad guy characters. You know, you have the rejected there. With RWA, it's very much as well that you have new faces there, so new people breaking into the, you know, the industry. One thing that I do see, from being somebody who's been there now for a while and feeling a bit like a veteran there, yeah, is you see, I've seen people come in and develop, and I've seen how people out there work in different promotions, you know. I've mentioned, like, Alexis Falcon. I remember the first day she came, walked through the door, and now to see where she is, you know, recently been on TNT, Alpha Omega, Wrestle Island, and seeing the way she's developed. Other characters as well, like, you know, the Riley boys.
I like them.
And again, with that storyline, you know, even Mr. Williams, when I first started, Mr. Williams was the first person that I spoke to. And then it was Demon, you know, Ryan that I spoke to. So even working alongside people like that, and even though this matches as a character you would love to have. But yeah, RWA, I think what people can expect is that even though RWA is a mate, you know, it's a wrestling show, it's got a bit of everything. And I think the thing is that it allows young children, especially when they see some younger wrestlers on the roster, doing what they like to do. I think it goes back to that moment where everybody has who loves wrestling, when you sit there and have that moment, can I do it? You know, could I actually be a wrestler? You know, the kids growing up want to be a wrestler. And that's something that, you know, even when I'm a trainer, I like watching, you know, the youth class. So the intermediate beginners class, when you see them, you know, having their moment where they feel like John Cena type thing, it's that moment. And when you get to see that, the younger people, when they come through and they're on the main show and they have, you know, a match or they debut, I think if you're a regular that goes, you get to see not just characters develop, but also people develop, you know. And then, like for myself, when you go on other promotions or go watch other promotions, I think for me you appreciate it a lot more because you see that you see the difference, but also you'll see faces that you've seen from day one then on other promotions. So you sort of become like a fan, but also you can recognise that person, whether they're in a different character, you recognise the person and what that person's capable of. So I think that's a big thing when people go and see RWA, that you see it, different skill levels working under one.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see experience with people debuting. You'll see new faces and then other faces, or older faces as I get referred to now. although Mr. Williams has still got years on me, so...
He didn't start till he was 36, he's telling me.
Well,
he didn't start wrestling until he was 36.
Yeah, and again, you know, so when you've got older faces like myself and then younger faces, but you see them working together, I think that's the bit where you see everybody doing something that they're passionate about and being able to get that across to people who want to go and watch.
Yeah, and as I should mention, you're the current RWA Next Level Champion. How did you win the title?
Yeah.
And,
so... It was, I'm trying to remember which show it was now. It's a while ago. I think it may have been Night of Memories, the last Night of Memories show, and it was a gauntlet match. So the champion at the time was running the gauntlet, basically. So it was a gauntlet match, and I was the last one in and went against somebody who's been at RWA for a long time. So it was Tommy Hayden. Who had run the gauntlet and was the current champion at that time. And luckily I was successful, being the last one in the gauntlet to come in and the freshest member and also the big guy at the time. I don't think anyone stood a chance, really. But
so are you defending your title this weekend?
I'm not too sure yet. I mean, I'm a fighting champion, should we say, so I'm always up for a challenge. At the moment, I seem to have a few people that, even though I've beaten them, they still seem to come back, they still seem to be attached. But I think the biggest thing is with this is that with the NXL belt, you know, AJ Johnson being the heavyweight champion at the moment, and obviously there's other storylines, other things going on as well, which are, you know, just as big as belts being defended. I mean, I'm always up for defending my belt, and I'm always up for a new challenge. So whether it's a rival who's adamant that they're going to get the belts off me, even though I'm adamant they're not, it's always nice as well to get somebody else new who maybe... Because when you've got a belt and you're a champion, you're always looking at who the person is that is going to keep on coming at you. And sometimes it's nice to get somebody that you didn't even think to really step up and have that, you know, match type thing. And I always find it interesting. I don't know whether I'll be defending my belt at the weekend, and if I am, I'll step up and give it 110% like I always do. It's nice at times. Recently I've been... my last defence was against Rabid Riley, so one of the Riley boys I was wearing. Yeah. It's been different because I've gone against them in the past when they were still tagging for the tag belts. And it's been interesting going against Rabid Riley because of the type of wrestler he is. So he's very much a fast, quite aerial lucha style. And obviously me being the sort of big guy that doesn't really get knocked off his feet and having to, you know, work in that, I find it interesting of how I'm going to stop him from doing some of the things that he does. sort of eyes at the back of the head type thing. But it's always a new challenge, and that's sort of with myself, that's where I find I really enjoy. You know, it's nice now and again to have another big guy that you go toe-to-toe that you can just... you know, throw each other around the ring and the crowd love it because it's two big guys. But now and again, it's nice to have those matches where you're constantly thinking, constantly, you know, you're on your toes all the match.
Yeah, Bobby Riley's somebody I really want to see, not in Wrestle Island, because I've only ever seen him in comedy matches. But I've seen a few bits of his on YouTube.
I think that's the, you know... He's with his character, his character's developed from being in the tag team to being... at the moment at RWA, very, you know, sort of the baby face, but very unstable type thing. Mm-hmm. A bit like the way Dean Ambrose was on WWE, that quite edgy, you know, crowd loving, but very edgy type thing. And it's very different, you know, when you see different characters develop and way people work. When you see different variations of a character, so it's always very fresh for me when I get a new challenge, you know, at RWA, you know, somebody new going for a belt, and sometimes someone that you don't actually really see coming, because it just offers you a new challenge, a new way of adapting your style and how your style is going to, you know, get the match from start really to hopefully, you know, successfully defending your belt. So, yeah.
Right, idiots, you're listening to Mr. Williams. Now, don't be an idiot yourself. Get listening, get liking, get following the Broken But Glorious podcast.
Yeah, so, as you've mentioned, you're a member of the faction, the Rejected. Can you give us a history about the team and how you met the other members?
As I said, when I first started, first person I spoke to was Demon Eye or Ryan, who very, very quickly became one of my best friends, not just in wrestling, but outside of wrestling. And it was one of our very first shows that we were at where we were in Witness. It was one of the RWA shows where we actually ventured out to the Rumcorns, and we used to have two, which was Roger and Witness. Mm-hmm. It was very much I turned up with my boiler suit and my boots, and Ryan had this idea that the Rejected needed somebody at the time. It was a bit like, because the the Wyatt family on WWE had had this big guy come in who's now Braun Strowman with this dark sheep of the family. So it was this character who doesn't have a name, doesn't do anything, just stands there and looks mean. And because I was still really large at the time, and had a, you know, it was given a mask, and that's where Abaddon was born. That's where I came into the Rejected. And then as I started to lose, as I started to develop into that character, it then molded in nicely. And then as the Rejected, you know, expanded, we then realised that actually, in order for us to be the dominant wrestling faction, we needed some female influence there, somebody to keep the lads in check, should we say. And that's where Alexis came in. And now, I think really when you look at the Rejected as a faction, it has, you know, especially when we're at Wrestle Island, the uninvited guests, you have elements, you have the, it's one of those, you have the big guy who is the power, you have the brains, you have the leader, and then you have the female who has even managed to charm herself some fans. And that's the thing now, it's when we appear at Wrestle Island, it's different that now you have a section of people that actually cheer.
They
love to hate you and hate to love you, and that's what works. And it's the whole balance that we have now with the Rejected. And especially because outside of when people don't see us wrestling, the Rejected and the format of us and the way we are as the Rejected is the way we are when we're not. Obviously without the demonic evil sides, you know. But that's very much the way we are as, you know, friends and stuff like that. And that, I think that's what makes that faction work.
So who are some of your favourite feuds and matches you've had as a team?
I think one of my favourite one feud has to be RWA, at the run up to us retiring Marcus Bane. Very much because even, you know, the process of it, it ended up being that career versus career match, the Demon and Marcus Bane, but there was that whole run, you know, the promos, the promos which weren't actually, you know, should we say, scheduled to happen. It was very much that he was there and we would just go up and legitimately just, you know, beat him down because that's the way it got. And very much we had taken inspiration from that feud between, I'm trying to remember now, but I'm sure it was, you know, between Owen Hart and Bret Hart, that whole build up to that SummerSlam match. Yeah. So it was very much keeping this feud alive and keeping it relevant every show. Building up to that one big match where, you know, Marcus Bane lost his career. That was one of the feuds that I've really enjoyed. One of the mini feuds I've enjoyed was us invading Wrestle Island because very much we wanted the Rejected to be part of Wrestle Island.
And,
the gaffer at Wrestle Island and the person who runs it didn't seem to want the Rejected to be part of it, so we forced the hand, should we say, by putting stickers on the outside of a certain shop and making our presence known. And that built up to very much our first match at Wrestle Island, which was the Theatre of Pain match against Roughneck and Sean Only. Which got very, very physical, but still one of my highlight matches. And that match led on then to having, you know, a tag match against the Myatt, so Keith Myatt and, you know, his son.
That was my first show, you against the Myatt family. So.
Yeah, and it's led to the match, big matches like that with names that I, you know, had seen, especially the likes of when I went against Roughneck. That match, I think, is still one of my favourite matches just because of the format it was. It suited the Rejected, you know, a Theatre of Pain match. And very much when we're at Wrestle Island, it's the whole unknown thing. You know, we turn up and we cause havoc, and that's what makes it, you know, so far for the next Wrestle Island show, people now have seen that Alexis Falcon is there. And that sort of gives the hint that Rejected were going to be there to support Alexis. If anything else goes down, then who knows? But we keep it. That's the way the Rejected rock at the island. And still, nobody's managed to work out or found out who actually let Rejected in that day.
Yeah. Yeah, so the last few Wrestle Island shows, the Rejected have been feuding with the King of Chop City, Gino Ramsey. Do you have a message for him for the next show?
Do I have a message for Gino Ramsey? The Rejected is one member, that is one group of people that will not be getting sent to Chop City. No. He's seen what we can do, and he's witnessed what we can do. So I'm not saying that anything is going to happen or isn't going to happen. All I'm going to say is that he's going to need to watch his back.
Well, I've really enjoyed the feud between us at the moment. So it's...
Well, it's not to say that anything, it could be over, it might not be over, but the thing is that when the Rejected in the past have said that we're going to do something, unlike the Billy Norton, Mr. Williams, where Mr. Williams was adamant he was going to finish Billy Norton off, the main object for the Rejected is to dominate Wrestle Island, you know, to come out as be the people who weren't invited and actually be the dominant people there. And I know that that means that there's, to do that, there's people we've got to go through. And if that means giving Gino Ramsey a ticket out of Wrestle Island, then so be it.
Yeah, there's rumours that they could be bringing in a Trios title to Wrestle Island. Would that be something you'd be interested in challenging for?
I've heard whispers of a Trios title. And I think that seeing as we at the moment are, I would say, the feared trio, then I would like to think that we would be given a fair opportunity. But as with anything with the Rejected, if we're not given a fair opportunity, we'll take our opportunity. So either way, I think you could say that if that comes in, we'll be in the mix somewhere, whether that is officially done or unofficially done. We'll be in the mix.
Yeah, because I've always wanted to. Did you start a feud of Team Mad? I don't remember.
Team Mad, I don't know. I mean, Team Mad have been there. They came out and saved Gino Ramsey.
Yeah.
And they've saved Billy.
Yeah.
So Team Mad keep on poking the nose in, because really we were just doing what we had said we were going to do, and then Team Mad appear. So don't get me wrong, if Team Mad want to keep on poking the nose into the Rejected's business, then they can join Gino Ramsey in Chop City.
That'd be a great 8-man tag between the 8 of you.
Yeah.
Both teams against each other. So I'd love to see Jade
when it comes to Wrestle Island, you never know, and Tilted Towers, who knows?
I think Jade versus Alexis will be a great match as well. So
yeah. So we've got all our bases covered, so it's up to now to see what, if we get invited or whether we just turn up anyway. To be honest, sometimes I prefer just turning up.
Sup guys, it is the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Norton, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So this weekend it's Wrestle for Our Mental Health, so 7 of the UK's top wrestling promotions are coming together for a great cause to raise money for Mind. So raise awareness against the battle against mental health and depression.
So the promotions
involved are DOA, Hope Wrestling, New Breed Wrestling Association, Pro Wrestling For You, Sacrifice Pro Wrestling, Shropshire Wrestling Alliance, and Wrestle Island. Are you going to be involved in the event?
I'm not sure. I mean, at the moment, to be honest with you, involved in the event that I feel the need, and I will publicise the event big time, because, you know, with all the different promotions, they've all got different things going on. I think for me, if I'm not involved directly, you know, on the card or in the actual show on the night, for me, publicising it, because mental health is such a big issue at the moment.
It is,
and
yeah.
You only have to look back over, you know, even as I've grown up, even professional wrestlers that we've had who have suffered from it, and how much of a big problem it is. And I think that people have always been aware that mental health exists, but don't actually know to what extent it is.
Mm.
And I think that it's important for people, if we can create a forum where we can publicise that and bring awareness to it, especially now with, you know, wrestling as it is at the moment, you know, not just locally in local promotions, but also, you know, World of Sport being back, you know, WWE doing the UK wrestling's now at the biggest it's been in a long time. And if we can use what we do in order to spread a message, to build awareness, then I think it's only good. So for me, just be simply being involved, even if not invited in a promotion that's representing that, then if that means that if I share it and publicise these events there to go to, then that's me having an involvement and making, doing what I can do to sort of get that message out there.
Yeah, it promises to be an incredible, memorable day for British wrestling. They've helped an amazing cause. So some of the matches announced are, we'll start with Wrestle Island. They've announced their first match will be the Ireland champion Sean O'Leary defending his title against Dan Evans and Drill.
So yeah,
that should be a great match.
Yeah, that match, especially because of Drill and Sean O'Leary at the moment, especially with the Drill mopping the belts from Wrestle Island and then Sean O'Leary taking it back. However, Dan Evans in the mix, I've seen, you know, Dan Evans recently at TNT, you know, in the tag match, you know, with the Merseyside Murder Squad, you know, as part of that. And I've seen what Dan Evans is capable of. And with that match, it's one of those Drill and Sean O'Leary, I would not take your eyes off and focus on the fact that it's three people in that match, because I think if you get a bit complacent and forget, Dan Evans is the type of person that could just sneak that belt.
Be interesting if Sean does win, but then Drill takes the title back, so he's got the title in September again.
Yeah, so. Or throw it into the mix that Dan Evans could rob the belts.
Sean O'Leary and Drill versus the Merseyside squad to get the belt.
That would be an interesting match. The card overall, when you're looking at it, is a really interesting card, and I think each promotion's really put up a match there that, you know, brings awareness and bring what makes people want to go,
yeah,
but also sort of showcases the best of what their promotions have got. And I think that's the main thing for me. I mean, with some of the matches, like, you know, I know the Drill Sean O'Leary, you know, as we just said, Dan Evans match, and then there's a few other people that I've seen when I've been to watch or been, you know, around other promotions. But for me, it's just interesting how each different promotion's putting up what, you know, matches in order to make that show a success. So,
Yeah, it's, I think I pronounced it now. It's Dave Del Vizcio.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Defending his title against Kenny Kilbane. I like Kenny Kilbane. I've seen a couple of his matches.
Yeah, I've watched a few. I think that's the thing. I'm still a bad and still trying to learn how to say people's names.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really say much. So.
Just nice English names. I can read them. New Breed Wrestling Alliance are offering a champion versus champion match when the heavyweight champion, Hustle Malone, goes against the cruiserweight Thomas James Sky. That should be an interesting match.
Yeah, so. Interesting match. I've seen Hustle again at Wrestle Island, so I've seen, you know. So yeah, that should be a really interesting match.
Yeah, the first time we saw Hustle, he ripped my son's AJ Styles glove off and stamped on it, so his son hates him. Even though he's a bit of a face now at Wrestle Island, he still doesn't like him. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also they've got the world's okayest wrestler, Ollie OK, defending his DOA Adrenaline Division title against former champion, the banker, Mark Lloyd. So that sounds like an exciting match as well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's also, so it looks like most of the promotions are just offering up the main title.
Who doesn't like a show when there's
a title match on the line.
So if you've got quite a few titles on the line, then I think then it means that the champions in each promotion then their guys then really step up, because as you know, if you're on the show and your match is the title match, then naturally, because there's a belt on the line, that becomes, you know, really the highlight match. But yeah, with every show having, or every promotion putting the belt up, it then gives a little bit of competition.
Yeah. If I was running it, I'd have all the winners going to a big battle royal at the end to become like a champion.
Yeah, you could have a ladder match with all the belts hanging. And the winner's the one that can get every belt.
Every belt.
That'd be an interesting one.
We'll do that. What's the TNA one? The King of the Mountain match, where you have to pin somebody, they get put in a cage, and then you have to go up a ladder and get a title.
Yes.
Do something really convoluted. Right. So, tickets for this is available online via Ringside World. All the links will be in the description below the interview. I've got one last question for you. So, do you remember back in the day when NWO did their own pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So if they rejected, did their own pay-per-view with all the rejection members having their own match, what matches would you choose?
So I think for Alexis Falcon, I'd have to start off with Alexis. I think, knowing the way Alexis is, I would put Alexis in a I Quit match.
Wow.
Because I know she has the drive, and if there's one thing, she doesn't like to lose. So I think that would be a match that would really go on and on, and that would really show a battle of wills. Azazel, I think it would be a picky poison match.
Wow.
Because I think that the way Azazel is as a character, he would, based on who he was going against, he'd really, really make that match his own. Demon Eye, the leader of the rejected. I think Demon Eye is a really, you know, technically, he's a very, very good and very, very good technical wrestler and very, very aware. Picking the match for him, wow. I think from what I've seen of him, I would be down as a, or really a street fight.
Wow, yeah.
Just simply because he would be able to use other things in order to his advantage. If you've been to a Wrestle Island promotion, you'll know where I'm coming from with that. Demon Eye's lethal in the ring.
Also likes to
get outside the ring.
Singapore Kane, isn't it?
Yeah. And myself, I think when it comes to myself, there's obviously the one match that I would love to do, but then a match that I think, for me, my character and everything, it would be a Buried Alive match.
Ooh, cool. How about opponents?
Who'd
you like to have a Buried Alive match against?
One person I've wanted to have a match against, simply because of his character, and I've forgotten his name now. He plays like a Jesus priest character. He was on one of the Wrestle Island shows.
Oh, he's in the Royal Rumble. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name though.
Yeah. Simply because of the way I think that match would interact, if you get what I mean, with his character in Abaddon. Dream match, if it's any opponents that I could just have ever, it would be probably Abyss.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah.
You know, a proper monster match.
Cool. What about for a Demon Eye? Who would you like to see him against?
Demon Eye. Are we saying anyone here or just...
Anyway, it's your show. So.
My show. I would like to see, if anyone again, I'd like to see Demon Eye Marcus Payne again.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, just because that was one of the best matches I'd seen. So I'd like to see that again.
And Alexis Falcon in a I Quit match against. I'm just having images of her putting somebody in a submission hold and just in a moronic laugh.
Alexis, our pay per view, Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, wow. Then Azazel in a pick or poison match.
Azazel and Finn Balor.
Finn Balor, that'd be amazing.
That would be one hell of a match, yeah. Mm. Or you could, you know, yeah. I mean, I would utilise them in singles matches like that, but if it was Alexis and I had to put her in any other match, it would be some sort of mixed six-person tag, and I'd tag her with the Young Bucks.
Yeah, well, that'd be great.
Alexis Falcon and the Young Bucks versus whoever and whoever. Just because I think that would be the way they are and the way she is, I think that would be an awesome...
That'd be a great tandem.
So. Yeah.
So before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
So if anyone is wanting to have a monster who's a bit uncaged and a bit unpredictable on the promotion, give me a follow on Twitter. I've forgotten my actual link, so the link will be on there.
I'll be posting it.
And if anyone's looking for a monster on a booking, not just myself, but also the rejected, then just get in touch with us.
It's at a bad and rejected.
Yeah, at a bad and rejected. And I think the on Facebook, it's under the rejected, so we're all there. So
yeah, all the links will be in the description below this.
Yes.
So I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thanks very much for your time. And I might see you at the next Wrestle Island show, you never know.
Yeah, I'll come up and say hello. We won the family raffle.
Yeah.
So we got the family ticket. We'll definitely be there this time. So.
Alright, brilliant.
I've been to every one for the last year. The first one I went to was when you were against the Maya family last August.
Yeah. So. Right, brilliant.
Okay, thank you. All right.